And good morning. It is a blessing to stand before you today. I thank God for this opportunity to share His Word. I want to especially welcome those who are visiting us for the first time. Just to clarify, I'm not the pastor. So we're taking a short break studying the book of Corinthians, okay? It has been such an amazing series of sermons that we've heard, and we've learned so much from our pastor, and he is faithfully sharing with us, right? I've learned so much from that. Speaking of our pastor, Sunny, please keep him and his family in your prayers as they enjoy this much-needed summer break. For those who missed our sermon last Sunday, if this is your first time attending our service, you can watch and catch up on these messages, right? Our videos and our sermons are available on our Facebook page and on our YouTube. So now I have a confession to make. Last Sunday, while I was physically present, listening to the sermon, I realized that my heart and mind were somewhere else. I had to stop, and I was sitting right beside my wife. I had to stop and ask myself, why am I distracted? So what I discovered was my own life's trouble, or my troubles in life, along with everything that is happening in the world today, were weighing me down. And I had to ask myself a hard question. Am I really trusting God, or am I letting life troubles cloud my faith? The truth is, and I think many of you will agree, that most of us come to church this morning carrying heavy burdens in our hearts. So in preparation for today's sermon, I prayed and asked God to guide me to the right topic. And He led me once again to address the very real worries that many of us face. We face many storms in life, job struggles, financial pressures, family conflicts, just to name a few. Life storms test us, right? They are uncomfortable, sometimes frightening, but they have a purpose. And that is to grow our faith and draw us closer to God. So our text today and the video that we just saw comes from the book of Judges. And this is where the Lord led me to share with you this morning. It comes from the book of Judges chapter 6 and verse starting from, if you have the time, read the whole chapter. It's an amazing story. But this time we're just going to tackle chapter 6 and chapter 7. And here we find this a story of Gideon, right? A man who saw himself a weak, insignificant, and unqualified, yet God used him to bring about one of Israel's greatest victories. So this account teaches us powerful truths about God and who God is, right? And how He works and what it truly means to walk by faith. So Gideon's army looked far too weak, right? As you can see and you can see in your scripture, it's far too weak to stand against the enemies. Yet God used their weakness to display His strength. This story reminds us that even when we feel powerless, God remains faithful, just like Gideon. Some of us already know the background or the story, but let's look at more, dig deeper on what the book of Judges is all about. So the book of Judges covers a series of events in Israel, okay? After the death of Joshua and before the establishment of the monarchy. So during this time, Israel was a loose confederation of tribes without a central government or king. The people repeatedly turned away from God, falling into idolatry and sin. So as a consequence, God allowed neighboring nations to oppress them. And when the Israelites cried out for help, God is faithful. God raised up judges, military leaders, and deliverers to rescue them and restore peace. So at the start of chapter 6, right, Israel is under severe oppression by the Midianites. For 7 years, the Midianites, along with the Amalekites and the eastern people, invaded Israel's territory during harvest time, right? So they destroyed the crops, they destroyed their livestock, their homes, leaving Israelites impoverished and desperate. The Israelites hid in caves and strongholds to survive, suffering great hardship. So this oppression was a direct result of Israel's disobedience and idolatry. You can see it in all the book of Testament, right? Showing a cycle of sin, punishment, repentance, and deliverance that runs throughout the book of Judges. And we can also see this pattern in some of the major book. You can see this in Exodus. We took up Exodus, right? See this in book of Numbers, Kings, Chronicles, and Nehemiah. All of this is cycle of rebellion, discipline, repentance. But it shows here that God's love, mercy, forgiveness, and his faithfulness for the people of Israel over and over and over again. So in a time filled with fear and hopelessness, God raises up a man named Gideon. Also known as Jerubbaal, okay, he is found threshing wheat and in a winepress, hiding from the Midianites. Suddenly, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and announces that God has chosen him to deliver Israel. Sound familiar? Moses, you know, right? So there's a lot of that God is always there for them, right? But Gideon doubts his own ability and question why God would choose him from his weak family and a small tribe. But again, God reassures him that he will be with him and he will empower Gideon to act in faith. So Gideon's initial task is to tear down the altar of Baal. I don't have a picture. And to cut down the Asherah pole. If you Google it, Asherah pole and the Baal, this is a symbol of Israel idolatry, right? They build their own image. So if you think about it, so that would lead to tension within his family and within his community, right? He's part of it. Yet, this act is signifies a return to God's covenant and break from false God, right? This is his task. So God instructs Gideon to gather an army, right, to fight the Midianites. Gideon gathers about 32,000 men, but God tells him, too many, too large. But the purpose of this is God wants to show that Israel's victory will come by his power, right? Not by human strength. So through a series of tests, first allowing those who are fearful to leave, then testing on how the soldiers drink water. So God reduces Gideon's army to just 300 men, right? So this small group of men is chosen to demonstrate that victory comes from God alone. So Gideon's 300 men followed a unique battle plan. Armed with trumpets against bow or against, who knows, sword, right? So they used trumpets, they used jars and torches. They surrounded the Midianite camp at God's instruction. So God instructed them on what to do. So at the signal, they blew the trumpets, mashed the jars, and revealed the blazing torches and shouted their battle cry. So the sudden blast of sound, burst of light through the Midianites into chaos, and their panic, they turned into one another and fled. Magic, right? So this morning, I want to highlight three main lessons from this chapter that apply directly in our lives today. Number one, God uses the weak to accomplish his purpose. So here in Judges chapter 6, we see that Gideon saw himself as insignificant and inadequate, but God chose him to lead Israel's deliverance, right? This teaches us that God often calls and empowers those who feel weak and unqualified, showing that his strength is made perfect in our weakness, right? And we can see this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Can I ask you guys to read it? Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Who here feels weak? Who here feels tired or weary? I know I do. You may be currently facing a new responsibility or task at home or at work that you completely feel that you are unprepared or ill-equipped to do, right? You may feel hopeless, and, you know, the world tells you, it is all up to you, keep going, right? So at work, I'm learning how to manage a group of people. So if you're a manager or supervisor, you know how it's like to manage a group of people, right? It requires a lot of, again, patience, and at the same time, how do you handle your workers, or how do you show up as a supervisor, Christian supervisor, right? What about here at church? Again and again, we have preached that, and you also heard the call to be a part of the ministries here at Glen Cairn Baptist Church. So if you are a professing Christian, please answer this call to be involved today, and don't let your weaknesses stop you from drawing others to know him and being a part of building kingdom here at Glen Cairn Baptist Church. So remember, Gideon felt weak, unqualified, and even afraid. Yet God still used him mightily, right? In the same way, God is not looking for the most talented, the strongest, or the most experienced, right? He's looking for those who are willing and available, and every gift, every hand, and every heart matters in the work of the Lord. Amen? So when you serve, whether it's teaching at our Sunday school, greeting at the door, or singing, in our praise and worship, or simply just praying for others, you are participating in the eternal work of God. Souls are impacted, lives are changed, and God is glorified. Amen? So the church is not built by spectators, right? It's built by servants. So don't just sit on the sidelines. Step into what God is calling you to do. The same God who gave Gideon victory with only 300 men is the same God who will strengthen you to serve in his kingdom today. Right? Number two, faith requires obedience despite doubt and fear. So Gideon wrestled with doubt and asked for a sign. Again, if you read the whole chapter 6, yet he obeyed God step by step. Right? Our faith grows when we take action. Even when we feel uncertain or afraid, trusting that God will fulfill his promises. Troubles cause us to hold tightly because we are focused on our limited abilities and resources. We say and think thoughts like, how will I pay my bills or my mortgage payments? Everything is so expensive. I think God will understand if I take another job and spend my weekend at work and withhold giving to others, and listen to this, withhold giving to church, whose purpose is to help the poor and to further his kingdom. We also say, I don't have enough time to help others or serve church. I don't even have time for myself or for my family. But God said in Matthew 6:33, what do you say?
Seek ye first
the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We give our time to the things of God, not because we are earning his love, right, and approval, but because this is what he created us to do, right? In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So, I must admit, every time I ask to speak here, I'm always willing and excited, but at the same time, I wrestle with my own doubts and fear. Right? Yet here I am, standing not my own strength, but in obedience, trusting that God will use me as a vessel to proclaim his truth this morning. And while you may not be called to preach, hear me clearly. If you are a Christian, God has placed within you a spiritual gift that is meant to bless others and glorify him. Think of an apple tree, right? Apple tree, when they bear fruit, they don't eat their own apple. It's meant to serve others, right? Same with banana tree. They don't eat their own fruit. It's meant to serve for others, right? This is who we are. Again, you know, the body of Christ is designed in such a way that every part is needed. Just as the hand cannot say to the foot, I don't need you, neither a Christian believer say, I have nothing to offer. So step out in faith and begin exercise the gift that God has entrusted you. If he can use Gideon hiding in a wine press, right, to deliver a nation, he can certainly use you today here at Glen Cairn Baptist Church. Last one. Victory comes through God's power, not our own. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. So God reduced Gideon's army from 32,000 to 300 men before the battle. In human wisdom, would say the bigger the army, the better the chance of winning, right? But God intentionally weakened Israel's number so that no one could boast in themselves, but only in him And this reminds us of Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, declares the Lord. So by drastically reducing Gideon's army, God made it clear the victory over the Midianites was his work alone, right? So picture this. So let us put ourselves in Gideon's place, right? So there are 32,000 men gathered for battle, but God said, it's too large, reduce it. And he reduced it twice, right? By first taking the purple men and then through the water drinking test, right? So there's 300 men, and you think that God is going to give them all the super human strength like who? Captain America, right? Okay, so where they will all become the super soldiers all of a sudden, and so they can expect to win, right? But no, they don't even fight. That's why I that video, I want to show you guys. They don't even fight, right? God tells them to take trumpets and jars and torches and makes a lot of noise so the Midianite armies lose heart and get scared and they win. What a plan, right? So no man would come up with that seemingly harebrained plan and guarantee a win, right? No way. Yet this is exactly the point, right? It's a powerful picture that how he works and his ways are not our ways, right? And his plan is not like our plans. What may look foolish to the eyes of man is wisdom in God's hand. And what seems weak to us is often very thing that he uses to display his power. So now, think about your own life. How often do we want everything to make sense before we obey God? How often do we want everything to make sense before we obey God? We want plan laid out. We want all the risk removed. We want guarantee in place. But faith doesn't work that way. Gideon's story reminds us of this truth. God reduces his army from 32,000 down to 300. From a human standpoint, once again, this made no sense at all. It looked like a certain defeat, right? But yet, it was that place of weakness that God's power revealed most clearly. Gideon had no choice but to trust that victory would come from the Lord. Not from numbers, not from weapons, not from human strength. In the same way, God may be stripping things away in your life so you learn to depend on him fully. Let me repeat that. In the same way, God may be stripping things away in your life so you can learn to depend on him fully. Maybe he's asking you to forgive someone who hurt you deeply. That doesn't make sense to the world's eyes, does it? But in God's wisdom, forgiveness sets you free. Or perhaps you're struggling in your job, feeling stuck, overlooked, or uncertain about the future. God may be calling you to trust in him with patience. Or maybe he's calling you to give generously, even when your finances already feel tight. To the world, that looks foolish, right? But in God's economy, that's exactly where blessings overflow. So, just as he did with Gideon, God often removes what we think we need so that we will discover that he alone is enough, right? He removes everything that we think we need so that we can realize that he alone is enough. And we step out in faith, even when it doesn't make sense. That's when his strength carries us and his glory revealed. All right. So now, think back in your own life right now. Think of all the impossibilities that God has gotten you through. Think of His continuous faithfulness to you. Remember the nights you thought that you would not make it, yet His mercy carried you. Remember those doors that were closed, but He opened a better one. Remember the times you prayed with tears, and when you woke up in the morning, turning into joy. If He was faithful then, He will be faithful now. The same God who parted the Red Sea for Israel is the same God who makes way for you and me. The same Jesus who calmed down the storm for His disciples is the same God who would calm down the storm in your heart today. So every trial that you walk through is a testimony that His promises never fail. This is my personal story on how God's faithfulness carried me and my family through every season of life. There were times when things felt uncertain and overwhelming, but God never failed to provide and guide and strengthen me and my family. Everything that I have and everything that I am, I owe it all completely to Him. So my parents are here with me today, and they can testify on how much God has blessed us and our family. I grew up in the Philippines with very little. There were nights that we go to bed hungry, unable to afford food, new clothes, or even no shoes. So our tiny house had a roof that leaked when it rained. But even in those difficult times, God was with us, right? And every time I look back, my heart overflows with gratitude. I can't thank God enough, and I want to give Him all the glory. Another one, when my wife and I asking the Lord to give us a baby, I thought I had a problem. She thought she had a problem. We've been praying and waiting, and 3 years later, we even went through those fertility tests, which we didn't pursue. But God is faithful. He didn't just give us one, He gave us two. And He just turned 13. This is what I'm saying. Like, we all experience things in life, but we forgot how God is faithful. And again, I stand in front of you today as a testament of this truth. I'm not a naturally gifted teacher or speaker. Any good thing taken from this sermon today is the display of God's enablement. He alone deserves all the glory and praise. Amen. How many of us face when life's burden, trials, and battles try with all our heart and all our might to come up with a logical solution, exhausting our own self, and at the end, leaving us angry and frustrated? The world tells us to keep striving on our own strength, but Gideon's story reminds us to trust and rely on God's power rather than our own resources and abilities, right? So I ask you to reflect on what's troubling you today. Let's look at God's promises together in His Word, the Bible. And I'm praying that you write this down and yet better memorize them and remember them in your heart when you are feeling down. And God will remind you about His faithfulness. Number one. When your job feels uncertain, God's faithfulness is proven at the cross. Romans 8:32. Can you guys read that for me?
God promises to provide everything, every. Also says in Matthew 6:31-32,
therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Another one, Psalm 138, verse 8. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Number two, when finances are tight, God's faithfulness secure every promise. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Again, when relationships are strained, God's faithfulness sustains us, right? In Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. In John chapter 14, verse 27, this is the verse, peace in our heart. Also, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, a call to love and forgive one another. And if, when it's possible, right, God calls you in Romans chapter 12, verse 18, to seek reconciliation. Pray for wisdom in your words and in your speech in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. When health fails, God's faithfulness flows from his desire to do us good. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 40. I will make with them an everlasting covenant that I will not turn away from doing good to them, and I will put the fear of me in their hearts that they may not turn from me. Psalm 147, verse 3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wound. Jesus is our eternal healer. Isaiah 53, verse 5. But he was pierced for our transgression, and he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wound we are healed. When you feel like giving up, God's faithfulness keep you secure. In John 10:28, it says, I will give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Hebrews 13, verse 5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Number six, when you fear the future, God's faithfulness has determined your destiny. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9-10. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Jeremiah 29:11. You guys know this?
Yeah.
Trust in God's sovereignty in, again, Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Right? Last one. When you feel alone, God's faithfulness means he is always with us. Matthew 28, 20. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Psalm 34, 18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saved the crushed in spirit. So when everything around us feels unstable, we can anchor ourselves into unchanging truth of God's word, right? That means no matter what storm you face, you are not abandoned. God is in control, and he is faithful. He is faithful to hold you steady. So in this hopeless situation, again, going back to our scripture, God called Gideon, a man threshing wheat in a hidden winepress, out of fear. Gideon felt unqualified, insignificant, and uncertain. But God said, go in the strength you have, and I will be with you. That is a promise. Go with the strength that you have, and I will be with you. That is to show that victory, again, belongs to God, not in human strength. Right? So the storm that we face, whether at work, finances, relationship, health, or these are all temporary. Right? And God promises that he will be faithful. Right? Like Gideon, we may feel weak, but God calls us to, again, be mighty and true in him. Right? Trust him and obey step by step, and he will fulfill his promise. So, seasons of difficulty don't last forever. Just as storms eventually pass, right? Philippines, going through a lot of storms, right? But they come and go, right? So through our trials, they come and go, right? But the danger, however, is that in the middle of the storm, many of us make a quick rush decision that can leave us lasting mark in our lives. So the storm is temporary, but don't leave a lasting mark in your life. Trust in the Lord, right? Some of these examples, like in marriage, right? We know the storm in marriage. There's argument, there's this disagreement, and they tend to make the decision that could last them forever, which is to separate, right? We don't want that. We want his people to trust in him, right? So storms, again, are temporary. But Jesus is eternal. God's promises in Christ are sure, and his love never fails. When everything around us feels unstable, we can always again anchor ourselves to the unchanging truth of God and his word and the finished work of Jesus on the cross, right? He reminds us that he is in control and he will never leave us. And he said, I want you guys to read it in John 16:33.
You already overcome the world.
So storms come in many forms. Again, financial struggles, health problems, broken relationship, worries about the future. But no matter how big or how gigantic is this storm, Jesus is greater, right? He can calm the wind and waves. He can calm the storm in our lives, right? No matter how big is your problem, God is bigger than your problem. Amen? Let's pray.
Father, Just